First of all, I am honored and privileged to be with you in this panel, and I thank Professor Ibrahim and David and all the colleagues for inviting me and to share with you the spiritual and moral dimensions of what Quran speaks about, the concept of Khalifa or trustee. The topic is very broad, and I have full paper. And first, I would like to apologize for my colleagues who have already listened to me in Edmonton, because it will be kind of repetition. And however, I'm sure in every time we will discover new things together. There are certain notions in the Quran which has moral, social, moral, and spiritual dimensions. And I guess the center of all this terminology, we can put this concept Khalifa, which has been studied mainly in the Muslim world in reference to political developments of Islam, because it's an institution, it's a political establishment, it's a leadership in Sunni context. But what we will do here, the concept which has been undertaken by Nursi, whom you are so far familiar, at least some of his thought, who took this concept and developed in his writings a kind of exemplary figure that he can serve as a best citizen for humanity. He says, to begin with, human being in the first place a spiritual trustee of God on the earth. That's his statement, and he keeps on repeating this in a couple of places. Now, the essential teaching of Islam is that God put human being on the earth, invested in him with what Nursi calls external and internal limitless capacities, and also demanded him to develop his potentials by fulfilling his duties to God and to his fellow citizens within the principles of responsibility and accountability. These are two notions. So trusteeship requires that human being will be responsible and accountable. The notion of Khalifa has a lot of translations and meanings in English, like vicegerent, trustee, representative, deputy, agent, and successor. Technically, it signifies the most distinct status of human beings among all creatures and his appointment by God on earth with social and moral responsibilities. Nursi says, God, after creating the animal kingdom, put human being as his vicegerent in the center of that, but entrusted him with a formidable task of responsibility, which Quran calls the trust. The responsibility is a trust, in Arabic, al-amana. This special mission of trust involves, according to commentators of the Quran, including Nursi, to establish a social moral order on earth based on justice, and to ensure at the same time that all beings, living and non-living, human, animal, plant, will receive their due right and due treatment. This is what Nursi calls a very noble yet very weighty duty and responsibility. It has a lot of challenges. And if human being fulfills it, he will be able to ascend to a rank even above the angels. If he misuses it or betrays it, he will go down as low as even the lowest of creatures. The irony is that, as again Nursi points out, God has created human being as the most delicate, most vulnerable, weak, and powerless of all human beings in terms of physical condition, constitution. But in terms of spirituality, he is given the task of governing and managing responsibility all the beings on the planet. Since human being is the raison d'etre of the creation, God has deposited in him what he calls, again from the Quran, a primordial nature or disposition, innate capacity, which has vicegerency or representative, by virtue of which he can think, see, understand the purpose of creation, and also rule over the world. So much so that, with this capacity, he can transform the whole face of the earth into a garden. Again, refers to Quran. It is God who has made the earth manageable to you in accordance with your capacity. Or he can even turn into what he says like a misery or destruction. And this is from Nursi's writing. Since God, or I, referring to God, have given all human beings, being the children of Adam, the innate capacity to be trustee on the earth, I gave them also the ability to see, consider, reflect, and understand the whole face of the earth in accordance with that ability. That is the way my wisdom requires. This worldly life, Nursi claims, consists of action and activity and motion. And also, there is aspiration, enthusiasm, which serves for human being as a kind of mount, so to speak, through which he is able to carry out his duties and also carry the burdens of his life, and with determination and hard working and also perseverance. That's why the post of vicegerency always demands human being, besides being firm in his faith, to be persistent in his actions. Faith, action, striving, hard working, all constitute what he calls the sine qua non components of this most elevated position, which never permits, even in slightest sense of the term, any form of inactivity or laziness. For they are, Nursi cautions, the mother of all vices, human laziness. He says again, human being possesses, referring to Quran, nothing except for which he strives for. Incidentally, in one of his famous treatises, which has been devoted exclusively to the subject of youth, Nursi diagnoses the possible causes of laziness and singles out one particular among all of them. And this was, in fact, according to him, most widely neglected. This is the immersion in daily routine activities and excessive indulgence in worldly pleasures. Some of the youth, he says, appear to be lost in their daily habitual activities, worldly pleasures, and eventually become stagnant and indolent. Yet, they would like to live a life of comfort and ease without working for it. Since human being has been endowed, he says, with many physical senses and limitless subtle faculties, he stands in the entire cosmos as the most comprehensive mirror, which is very similar, of course, in other spiritual traditions. A mirror which reflects the miraculous arts of the creator of all the universe, his names, his attributes, and his qualities. In order for him to remain at this high level, sublime position, to enjoy the beauty, he should abide by the requirements of his vicegerency that can be summed up, he says, in three interrelated functions or activities. Number one, the development of his potentials and faculties through his comprehensive disposition. Number two, the self-realization of his utmost poverty and humility before his creator. And three, the fulfillment of his social duties towards his fellow beings. So these are three things that are required by a trustee of God on the earth. Nursi explains the first, the development of human potentials and possibilities by referring to the Quranic verse. God taught Adam the names, all of them. What is intended by the teaching of the names to Adam, according to Nursi, is to show that human being is capable of learning and acquiring through his comprehensive nature, countless sciences, numerous branches of knowledge about all that exists in the universe, as well as about the qualities of the Creator. The teaching of the names, in other words, refers to attainments of learning, scientific progress, and wonders of technology which man manifests through his comprehensive disposition. By the names is meant God's most beautiful names, which are in fact, he says, the realities and sources of all sciences and attainments, and each of these names has either one or more reflections in the universe. Especially human being who studies carefully the earth, the cosmos, will be able to discern these sciences and appreciate the arts and beauty of God. By studying the science of engineering, for instance, he says, one can explore the reality of this science and reach to the point where he can discover the name of God, which is all just and determiner. Or by the study of medicine, he discovers the name of God, all healing. So the study of sciences and arts is regarded by him as an act of spirituality as much as an act of intellectual pursuit. So through the self-realization of his utmost humility and impotence, the second part, human being genuinely displays his need for God and also expresses his gratitude to God so that he can win his love and pleasure. Whereas through the fulfillment of his duties towards his fellow citizens, he meets the basic needs of his own life as well as communal life and responds with faith and determination the hardships and challenges of this world, while contributing positively and significantly to the welfare of the society in which he lives. In both cases, he ultimately attains happiness in this world, as well as securing an eternal, immortal, in a blissful life in the world to come. However, those who are blind to spirituality, he says, because of the lack of faith in their heart or for other reasons, they prefer to seek everything in materiality only. And this is a warning by Nursi. He says, they may in the end pursue only the demands of their personal ambitions and destroy anything and even the whole world and mankind if they see it as obstacles to their self-centered goals. The human's capacity of vigilancy gains more importance and becomes more effective in accordance with the proper and responsible use of his external and internal faculties, including intelligence, which for Nursi is a most blessed and luminous God-given tool, which if spiritually empowered, rightly guided, and continuously illuminated by faith, will serve for the attainment of his happiness, and in the end, in the event of its misguidance or misuse, it leads to the misery and self-destruction. The capacity of vigilancy in the former case, if responsibly executed, meaning by the spiritually and luminously fostered intelligence, turns into what Nursi calls a kind of supreme or divine trustee, letting human being perceive everything in the universe as meaningful signs of God's wisdom. Hence, he will be able to treat them accordingly with due care and respect. If this capacity, on the other hand, is neglected or left just to the sway of an unguided intelligence, it gradually becomes a spoiled type of vicegerency, depriving human being of the true vision of reality. So he says, belief in God, the hereafter, worship, contemplation, are some of the requirements of this post of trustee. Sincerity, true respect, earnest compassion, disinterested love, mutual assistance, honest service, social relations, and non-ostentatious charity and virtue also part of the requirements of divine vicegerency. The divine vicegerency demands human being to conduct his or her affairs responsibly and justly as dictated by God and also act in conformity with the natural laws that are operative in the universe. This would mean that a true trustee supports, for example, justice and fairness for all people and opposes injustice, tyranny, oppression under all circumstances. It's again part of the requirements of the divine vicegerency that human being carries out all his duties and tasks with utmost sincerity. And Nursi gives here an interesting, to achieve that level of sincerity, some guidelines. First, in performing any action, human being should seek, first and foremost, the love of God and pleasure of God. Secondly, If the action to be performed involves a communal goal, a common good, or a joint duty, he should work with the other members of this group, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, within the spirit of fraternity, so much so that he should not only assist them with his efforts, but also complete their deficiencies and even cover their mistakes, if any. Thirdly, a human being who aims to sincerely undertake the role of his vicegerency should prefer others to himself in all the things he enjoys, like material benefits. As has been also recommended by the Quran, and he gives the reference to the Quran, they give, meaning believers, give them, give others preference over themselves. Fourthly and lastly, he should gratefully appreciate the virtues and merits of his fellow citizens and also rejoice in their accomplishments and share their pains. Apart from being sincere in all his actions, divine vicegerency, however, compels human being to deepen his spirituality, and which is important for Nursi, to really fulfill the social duties. If a person has spiritually not strong, he will not be able to fulfill his social duties. And he proposes a four-step progressive spiritual journey to achieve this, and which, of course, he derives from the Quran. First, impotence. And I guess we should now maybe elaborate in the, again, question and answer period. Impotence, meaning human being feels that he is really very weak. So this notion leads him to winning the pleasure and love of God. Second, he should feel that he is in need of God, like utmost poverty or indigence, fakir, which will lead to the mercy of God. And the third, compassion, and which will lead to the compassion of God. And the fourth is reflection, or tafakkur, meditation, contemplation, which leads to the to God's wisdom. And by practicing these four spiritual exercises, man is able to acquire at least four virtues among them, among others. First, he will be able to praise God instead of boasting his ego. Second, he will remember God at all times and places, attributing, third, goodness to God, evil to himself, and reading everything, the last, in the universe as meaningful signs pointing to their creator. As noted earlier, Nursi's treatment of notion of trusteeship indeed occupies a very considerable space in the Risale. In one particular place, for instance, where he takes up the question of Adam, I guess this is an important part, Adam's expulsion from paradise, he first investigates at length into the various possible reasons for such expulsion, and he gives from his own perspective and based on his reading of the Quran a kind of explanation as follows. He says, quote, "The wisdom behind Adam's expulsion from paradise concerns the fulfillment of his duties. Adam was sent as having been charged with the duty of unfolding all mankind's spiritual progress and revealing their hidden potentialities, while his essential nature being a comprehensive mirror to all the names of God. Had Adam remained in paradise, his status and rank would have been fixed like that of angels, and his responsibility would not have unfolded at all." So the world for him, and of course for in Islamic tradition, is a realm of wisdom and a realm of service and a realm of cultivation of the fruits for the hereafter. There are, generally speaking, two main factors or causes which Nursi suggests as the motivation for human being to perform a duty or action. One of them is the benefits, fruits, advantages that are anticipated to result from that duty, which he calls the ultimate cause, like physical desires, appetites, that drinking, eating. The second one, he says, a pleasure and love which prompts the execution of that duty with passion and ardent. And this is, he says, like all the social duties that involve the well-being of humanity. Duties, according to Nursi, should not be performed merely for the sake of satisfying the requisites of life or needs of the material life or gratifying the physical appetites. Rather, they should be carried out with the aim at developing and perfecting internal potentials, subtle faculties, moral qualities, and spiritual powers. In assuming and performing social responsibilities and duties, one should always bear in mind, again, Nursi warns, that every human being is just like a captain in the ship, like ship-like world. As such, he ought to perform his duty well in order to take the wage and pleasure that are associated with it. He should also consider that the life in the ship, regardless of how long it may be, as well as all that are available therein, including advantages and benefits he enjoys, belong to the all-generous God, who is merciful, sustainer, and owner of all. Therefore, he should not only fulfill his duties as best as he can, but offer thanks to the real owner of all these resources at every moment for his generosity. Ultimately, all that results from the performance of duties and functions in this ship-like world will benefit not just that person who executes them, but all humanity at large. They will also secure, as Nursi again indicates, an immortal life for the performer of these activities in the hereafter. Nursi often emphasizes the importance of the performance of duties related to the well-being and happiness of society. He says failure to do so may lead to immorality and instability in the social life. He says, so long as my stomach is full, what do I care if others die of hunger? You work so that I will eat. You suffer hardships so that I can live in ease. These are a few samples of senseless and egocentric attitudes, which Nursi diagnoses the causes of awesome social diseases, not to mention that they are in contradiction with the innate nature of human capacity, which God originally deposited in human beings. So in order to encounter and overcome against all this kind of selfish attitudes, and their harmful consequences, human being has been commanded almost, he says, in all religious traditions, to be generous and open-handed towards less fortunate people. And he gives as an example the institution of zakat, the charity that Muslims is supposed to pay every year. And also elaborates on that at length. In explaining some of the social duties that have been commanded by God for Muslims, Nursi affords several compelling arguments from the Quran and also Hadith of the Prophet. I guess the verse which I will quote occupies a central position and place in his Risale-i Nur as far as plurality is concerned. From the Quran, O mankind, we created you from a single male and female, and we made you into tribes and nations so that you may know one another. He said, this is, for Nursi, the core of the social relationship in a society. And in a good human society, the fundamental truth, he says, is that the relations among people should be based on proper knowledge of one another, knowing one another, acquainted being one another. And he adds further to the meaning of this verse by saying, quote again from his work, God says, I created you as peoples and nations and tribes so that you should know one another. You should know the relations properly, relations between you in social life, and so that assist one another, not so that you should regard one another as strangers, refusing to acknowledge one another, which will, he says, lead to unnecessarily hostility and enmity. So ignorance, in fact, is the cause of what you call hostility. As noted, the Quran puts forward the principle of knowing and assisting one another as an essential duty that must be adhered to by all in order to establish and maintain sound relations in a society. But such a vital duty, Nursi insists, needs to be undertaken again in the name of God, on behalf of God, and carried out sincerely in accordance with the lofty position of vicegerency, trusteeship. Besides, since its performance is both an act of service for the welfare of humanity, an act of worship for God, the result and fruits that will spring forth from it are not only beneficial for this transient life of human beings, but also it is a means of securing eternal happiness in the hereafter. The principles of mutual assistance, or magnanimity and generosity, Nursi further declares, have been commonly shared and exposed, again he says, by all prophets. And he says this is the prophetic path. And this is the foundation of a healthy social life. In contrary to these exalted principles, there has always been a rival position advocated by what he calls so-called materialist thinkers, who have viewed life as a kind of conflict rather than seeing it a mutual cooperation and assistance. But if we take, he says, a quick glance at plants and animals surrounding us, you will notice how they are cooperating with one another, so much so that even a limb of human body is assisting the other parts of human body. So Nursi's rigorous insistence and on the necessity of mutual assistance in social life finds its most eloquent articulation in his sermon, which he delivered in Damascus. And I will read the quotation. If a man's endeavor is limited to himself, he is not a human being anymore. For human beings are by nature civilized. Man is compelled to consider his fellow humans. His personal life continues through social life. For example, how many hands is he in need of to eat even a piece of bread? In return for it, how many hands does he in effect kiss? How many factories is he connected through the clothes that he wears? And this is a long quotation. I skip that. So a true human being who deserves to be called a true trustee of God on the earth behaves with his social conscience, which is an Arabic vijdani ijtimai. So it's interesting to note here, this is a concept which has been paid great attention by Nursi. So human being should have this social conscience, which urges human being to work with his fellow citizens in mutual cooperation and assist them in resolving their problems and removing their hardships. If a person has no social conscience, as Nursi argues, he should question and examine his humanness. For such a person who has not yet comprehended the true meaning of cooperation, is even less than a stone, he has no life. Through an earnest application of mutual cooperation and assistance in a society, Nursi maintains, first leads to accord and solidarity among the members of the society, and then results ultimately in their progress and spiritual advancement. So for Nursi, by fulfilling his duties to God and also to humanity, human being will be able to attain two goals. One, he will be exemplary person in providing service for humanity. And he says, the best of you, quoting the prophetic tradition, is one who serves the humanity. And then the second achievement, he will be able to demonstrate that he is a comprehensive mirror for the beauty of God on the earth. Thank you very much.